Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm sitting in our studios at MTP Software with Walter Sullivan, and that means this whole segment is the special segment In the Weeds. And welcome back, Walter.
It's great to be here, Jeffrey. We're up in smoke, aren't we?
Up in smoke, yeah.
I got to bring some in for you.
Yeah, you always say that.
I'll talk.
Walter, so much going on in the field right now. Everywhere I go, that's what everybody's talking about. Every day I drive down Route 9, I see the big lineups. I was on Mass Ave.
Netta's doing
yesterday.
All right for themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing okay. It's a big business. And you thought that since it's such a bustling little business that we should interview Joshua England, tax consulting attorney at AAFCPAs. Well, you're going to have to tell us what that means. Welcome.
Thanks
Josh,
for
it's
me.
Great to have you. I mean, I met you a number of weeks ago, and I can't believe all the different strategies you come up for the cannabis businesses and so forth. Why don't you explain your background and how you got into this business? The cannabis business.
Into the cannabis business, sure. I'm an attorney. I've been practicing for about 20 years. I've been with AAFCPAs, Alexander Aronson and Finning.
Okay.
We're an accounting firm out of Westboro with offices in Wellesley and Boston as well. We've been in the cannabis business since probably about 2012. It started one of our clients got into it and asked us to work with them on getting their application ready. And the partners at AAF just looked at it and said, you know, this is a great opportunity. They talked with our insurance and the AICPA and everything and made sure that we weren't going to lose our licenses if we got into the business.
There was no hesitation?
There was no hesitation. They jumped right in, and now we've got probably close to 30 clients at some stage of production in the business.
Wow, that's really a focus of the firm. That's a niche.
Yeah, we've got probably well over 20 people within the firm that are just focused on cannabis in some form or another.
What parts are you focusing on? I mean,
well, you know, we've got clients who are just getting their applications ready, and we're working with them on thinking about how their business should be structured, all the way up to filing returns and dealing with the IRS on issues that are coming out right now in regards to the industry.
When you first meet with smaller clients just getting into the business, what do you find the issues that they're having or misunderstandings they have that you're able to help them with?
Well, they're all interested in business structure. They want to know how should we organize this business. Misunderstandings, not all of them, are really business-minded. They're more into the product themselves and growing, and that's their expertise. And so they need people that are really focused on the business side to help them with bringing in investors, developing the different models for their profits and expenses and how the tax ramifications due to the result of Section 280E.
Why don't you explain 280E so that way when people understand?
280E is the section in the Internal Revenue Code that essentially says that you can't deduct any of your expenses other than your cost of goods sold. And cost of goods sold is really what it takes to grow the product or purchase the product.
Now, the big impact that has is on the retail side, not necessarily the cultivation and manufacturing, because the cost of goods sold, the biggest impact is 280E is on the retail side?
Right. So when you're thinking about from the retail side, you know, you can't deduct your rent, you can't deduct your sales staff, your salaries, your utilities, all of those things non-deductible. The only thing on the retail side that you can really deduct is the cost of the product itself. There may be some for inventory control, some small allocations of expenses that we can take, but generally it's the cost of the product. And so if you're, you know, when we're talking about strategies with clients and you're in both the retail as well as the cultivation side, one of those strategies that we might talk about is having your sales staff paid at minimum wage on the retail side, but then bump their salary up on the cultivation side where it is deductible.
Right. You know, that's where I find different ways of paying them. Is the difference if you pay them minimum wage and then pay them through as an investment? They become stockholders or of some type?
Well, generally, they're not stockholders. You know, you're talking
about... No, I understand that.
You know, so there is definitely a difference. You know, if you pay the minimum wage on the retail side and then you give them a higher salary as they're working in the cultivation side of the business as well. So you're going to find them working in both both spaces.
But what do you do on, because now Massachusetts allows just retail stores. How do you, what do you recommend to just retail stores?
Retail stores is a little more difficult. You know, one of the age-old strategies that we've been seeing back from Colorado and California and other states is to develop a second line of business. The case law out there from the IRS and the tax court is not as favorable on that. There's one good case, early case, it's called the Champs case, where the IRS and the tax court said it was okay and allowed you to deduct some of your expenses because they were related to a second line of business. But the latter cases, it really doesn't pan out. A lot of that is because the cases that get before the tax court are the ones that the IRS wants to get to before the tax court, so they've got the bad facts.
So when you say second line of business, why don't you explain what that means?
Ideally it's a business that actually has a profit motive where you're trying to make money. And so you could open a cafe if you wanted to in your retail establishment, and that would allow you to deduct, you know, a significant portion of your rent against the income earned from the cafe.
And that would allow you to promote both businesses.
Exactly.
Now, what I find is we've had a number of conversations over the past year or so with you is just structures of corporations and talking about how to invest. And I found that the items you've come up with on really helping people navigate investments in corporate structure. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, when we talk about the business structure for cannabis, it really, the new tax act passed December 31st, 2017, plays a significant role in the structures that we've come up with, in that corporations, which traditionally have not been as favorable for a business structure because of the two levels of tax, meaning that the corporation pays tax itself, and then as it distributes profits out to the shareholders, they pay tax on that as well. Not as favorable as an LLC, which has only one level of tax at the owner level. Mm-hmm. But now with the 21% corporate tax rate under the new tax act, a lot more favorable, especially when you're thinking about 280E, which says you can't deduct, you know, all of your expenses. So if you're on the retail side and I'm paying rent out to a third party, I can't deduct that. I can pay tax at the federal level of 21% on that rent and never have to worry about the second level of taxation because I'm not actually able to distribute that out to my shareholders as profits. It's going to my landlord as rent.
Now, one of the things you recently, we don't want to get in the company, you went through an IRS audit, and you're the first one to have it done in Massachusetts.
Well, it's not done yet.
Oh, it's not completed.
We're still working on that, and we're still dealing with the IRS. But, you know, I do have to be a little careful about what I'm saying there and that it isn't done yet.
Okay.
Be nice.
But all in all,
so you
nice.
Are actually, though, experiencing the first IRS audit in, I guess, the marijuana business in Massachusetts.
As far as we know, we're not aware of any other audits at this point.
Right.
Now, one of the things that is, you know, what do you see when someone comes to you, the biggest issues that they have, and how are you able to solve it for them?
Well, again, my area of expertise is really on the business structure. And so it's sitting down and discussing with them the different options they have in terms of how to hold the licenses, in what kind of entity, as well as thinking about the exit strategy. You know, that's really a key issue in this industry. People, you know, are you going to be in the business for 4 or 5 years and then try and sell when it becomes legal nationally? Or are you going to try and stay in the business for the long term? And so a C-Corp can really,
It's interesting you mentioned the exit strategy with where the money is, and that becomes an issue here in Massachusetts with both social equity and the economic empowerment applicants. Is okay, you have a license, you have the ability to move forward, but you truly don't make out until you have an exit strategy.
Well, I mean, we're seeing a lot of clients making a lot of money right now who are open and selling, especially, you know, on the recreational side. They're doing very well. And so, you know, one of the issues that we get with clients that are just opening up today or just, you know, starting to fundraise today, they'll say, you know, ideally, we'd like to do it as debt because we envision if the cash flows continue as they are, we'll be able to pay off that debt relatively quickly and we don't have to give up an equity interest. But most of the investors are looking at that equity interest as what they want in return for their money.
Great topics. Joshua, would you be willing to come back again and continue to talk to us about this?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to.
And we'd love to have you back again. I want to remind everybody we're speaking with Joshua England, Cax Consulting Attorney, AAF CPAs, and we've been talking about the marijuana industry with Walter Sullivan. Joshua, someone's looking for you. How would they do that?
They can reach us at AAFCPAs.com. We have a great website with a nice landing page for our cannabis group, or they can reach me at 978-457-2809.
Great. Thanks for being on the show
Thanks
today.
Thanks for coming in, Josh.
Doesn't take too long to whip through an interview. My name is Jeffrey Davis again. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.